So we're getting into a little bit of the book of Malachi this morning, because this is a wonderful reminder from the Lord regarding God's desire for the priesthood.
Amen.
Yeah. The Holy Scripture, as we know, has two parts. Some call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. Actually, God's Word is never old. So we call it the first part and the second part. And the last book of the first part is Malachi, which deals with the priesthood. And we had just finished the conference on the book of Revelation, which is the last part. The last book of the second part. And it's also regarding the priesthood.
Amen. Yeah.
So we know how important it is that God desires, a holy priesthood. And yeah, in the book of Revelation, as we saw, the Lord is walking in the midst of the golden lampstands, not as a savior or a redeemer, but as our great heavenly high priest. And because God desires a holy priesthood. And so in any book that we read, the most important part of the book is always the end, right? And God puts the most important thing on his heart at the end. Oh, thank you. In the book of Malachi, and also in the book of Revelation. And we did have a conference on the book of Malachi already. It's not my burden to go over everything, just to review a little bit the main burden. And in the book of Malachi, God is warning, not to the general people, but to the priests. And he was speaking to the priests in a very stern manner, because the priests were not serving properly. Yeah. Very much like what the Lord spoke to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. I have many things against you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Lord was not very happy. And so it's important for us to see this matter. Yeah. And it says in chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And the first thing the Lord says is, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yeah, yeah, in the meeting in this conference, we saw how important God's love is. We all are here, and we all should be serving as his priests, not because we have to, but because we want to, because God loves us. The love of God should cause some response within all of us. God doesn't want offerings that's begrudgingly given to him. He wants offerings that's full of love. God loves us, and God desires us also to love him back in exactly the same way. This is why the burden of the Lord is speaking to God's people, and especially the priest, in this way. We know the condition of the people of God, even among the priests, before the Lord's first coming. It was not very good, right? How about today? Right before the Lord's second coming. Now, there are many people, they don't even want to practice the priesthood. Yeah. It's the same. It may be worse. Yeah. And how did God feel about his priests in Malachi? He was disappointed. Actually, to say the word disappointed is really to put it mildly. God was angry. Why? Not because the priest didn't bring him offerings. Not because they didn't prepare the food for the Lord's table. And not because they didn't bring the sacrifices to his altar. But because they brought offerings that were polluted, lame, sick. They brought sacrifices that were defiling to his altar. Yeah, they brought food to the table that were contemptible, unworthy, petty, and cheap. They check off the to-do list, but their service was in an unworthy manner. And this is completely opposite of what God desires us to serve him with reverence and godly fear. Their offerings were really a reflection of their person, their character, their attitude, and their inward condition. They were sick, but they didn't know that they were sick. They thought they were okay. They were doing all these things that God asked them to do, but they just did it in a way of contemptible. Yeah. God searches the inward parts. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, I'll read it to you. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Yeah. This is the condition of God's people today, and we need to realize this, and may the Lord's light shine upon us. Yeah. As priests, God cares much more about who we are than what we can do for him. God doesn't need us to do things for him. He can do everything already. He doesn't need our talents, our gifts, our capabilities, our abilities. He needs our person, our virtue, right? Our attitude, our inward heart condition. Yeah. In Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, again, I'll read this to you. You all know these verses already. You've heard them many times. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Yeah, that is what God desires. Yes. A broken and a contrite heart. Yeah. These, O God, you will not despise. Yeah, the opposers use these verses and say, see, God doesn't want sacrifices. No, that's not what the Lord means. It means he wants us to bring offerings that is true, amen, with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Amen. Yeah, not just as, oh, I did it. I did. I read the Bible. I prayed. Did you do it out of sincerity, respect, honor, and love for the Lord? This, the Lord is asking us this, and we didn't do it. Yeah. So he's now warning us. When God spoke to the people in Exodus 19, we all know that there was a covenant that was given, right? I'll again remind you, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if You will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. There's a condition to this, okay? Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people.
Yeah.
For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Yeah, we need to speak these words every day. Yeah.
Amen.
Reminding ourselves, this is a covenant given by God. You know, when we go to school, we sign a contract, right? If you don't go to classes, then you don't pass the class. You just have to keep repeating second grade until you pass. Then you can move on to third grade. When we go to a job, you sign a contract. For 36 years, I was a boss. I never had to sign a contract. But this year, I became an employee. My company got bought. I have to sign a contract. And if I don't fulfill that contract, they will ask me to go out the door. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. When we get married, we also sign a contract. And if we break this contract, the marriage is over. God has given us this wonderful covenant. And we saw last night, it's an honor. It's a privilege. We don't deserve it, but God so willingly gave us this wonderful covenant. Don't be like the priest in Malachi. And take it so cheaply. Yeah. A few years ago, I had a cousin who worked in the White House under Trump. He was the Undersecretary of Budget, so he meets with President Trump every day to discuss how to spend Trump's money. And one day he asked me, Sam, would you like to come and visit the White House and have an opportunity to meet the president? Oh. And to my shame, I even hesitated. I said, let me think about this. And my cousin's name is Derek. He says, Sam, you must remember, not too many people get a chance to have this opportunity. There are some people in Germany that were killed to have this opportunity. I never responded. I lost the opportunity. Yeah. When the Lord gives us a wonderful opportunity to serve Him, to be His priest, we need to seize this opportunity. And we should not say, oh, this is a job. This is something I have to do. Paul never had that attitude. He gave up everything for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Amen. Jesus, my Lord.
Amen.
He counted all things lost. Yeah. We need to have such an attitude. The Lord says, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet Jacob I have loved. Yeah, these days, these verses just resonate in my heart, and I am so shameful. Took the Lord for granted so many years. The reply from Israel is, in what way you have loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yeah. Ah, very sad. Many of you who are married, you know what it means to be in love, right? When you're in love with someone, doing anything for that person is not a chore. It's not an assignment. It's not a burden. It's like, oh, I have to love this person. You're so happy and so willing to even go to the moon to get something for this person, right? Yeah. Even you need to sacrifice everything you have. You would be willing to do it. What was the very first thing that the Lord had against the church in Ephesus? You have left your first love. Yeah. The Lord is speaking the same way here in the book of Malachi. God gave us, God gave me his only begotten son. God gave me his very best. And what have I done for him lately? Right? Yeah, I do feel very shameful before the Lord. In chapter 2 of Malachi, verses 4 and 5. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. Wow, you know, when I read this verse, after hearing what the priest in Malachi did in verse 1, in chapter 1, I was actually a bit surprised. If I was God, and you bring like polluted, sick, lame offerings to me time and time again, and I defile my table, I don't give you a second chance, a third chance. But the Lord did say here that my covenant with Levi may continue. Because the Lord doesn't want to break his covenant. Yeah. He wants us to keep his covenant. Yeah. When I read this, it's like a sharp two-edged sword. I am so undeserving because of my attitude, inward condition, yet the Lord still is chasing after me. And he is chasing after you, chasing after all the dear saints in Zion. Keep this covenant. Yeah. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace. And I gave them to him that he might fear me. And so he feared me and was reverent before my name. Who is the Lord talking about here? I think the Lord is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace. I gave them to him that he might fear me. And so he feared me and he was reverent before my name. Without the life of the Lord Jesus Christ living in us, as much as we try in our flesh to please God, we know we cannot please God.
Yeah. Right?
That's why it's important for us, as Brother shared yesterday, we need to put on Christ, put on the holy garment, put on the garment of righteousness, the garment of the priesthood, the clean and bright, the white garment. Yeah, Paul says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Yeah. Only the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to fulfill this covenant. Yeah, this is a covenant first of life, then of peace. If you don't have life, there's no way to have peace. May the Lord be merciful to all of us. Yeah. In Hebrews 9:11, Paul reminds us that Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is our heavenly great high priest. He is the fulfillment of these verses here in Malachi. With a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Yeah. So through our Lord Jesus Christ, as our great heavenly high priest, we may have this covenant of life and peace, because Christ is our life, and Christ is our peace, right? There's no other life we have besides Christ. Yeah. May the Lord be merciful to us. When the Lord came as the high priest, he showed us, while he lived on the earth, what it means to fear God and to be reverent before his name. God loved his son. Just like here, the Lord, God told us, I have loved you. And the son loved the father. Amen. And the son was obedient to the father, even unto death.
Yeah.
This is what it means to serve God with reverence and godly fear. I go to Japan a lot. I used to live there. And when you go to Japan, everyone is, you know, reverent. That's not the reverence we're talking about, okay? That's an outward show, right? When they turn around, they talk bad things about you. Yeah. In front of you, they're very nice. Oh, those terrible foreigners. Yeah. I know that. I lived there. Yeah. God doesn't want your outward fear and reverence. The Lord Jesus lived this. He did the will of the Father. That's what it means to fear God. Not to be afraid of God. The Lord Jesus was not scared of God, not nervous about God, but he feared God. He did everything that God asked him to do. Yeah. That is how we show our proper fear and honor for the Lord. This is really important for the Lord to live this way so that we can partake of this wonderful humanity. Last night we talked about the showbread. This is the wonderful Lord's humanity. We need to eat of this bread. And then we are filled with this wonderful life. Then we can live this priestly life that's well-pleasing to the Lord. Malachi 2, verse 6 and 7 goes on to say, the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips, on his lips, right? And he walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. Yeah. When I read these verses, I picture the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody else is a liar. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he had the law of truth in his mouth. And injustice was not found on his lips.
Amen.
And he walked with God in peace and equity. And he turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Yeah. Wow. How wonderful is our Lord Jesus. Yeah. He is truly a messenger of the Lord of hosts. What did John said in Revelations 2 and 3 regarding the books that were written to? They were written to the messengers of each of the golden lampstands. Today, the Lord needs some more faithful messengers, those who will be willing to keep his truth, not to speak what is popular, what people like to hear, but to speak the truth in love. And even if everybody leaves and go out the door, doesn't matter. We speak the truth. Yeah. This is really important. May the Lord help us. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 tells us, we are men of unclean lips. So may the Lord give us new lips and new mouth. Yeah. Today, we need to be changed. We need to be transformed. Our fallen humanity, no matter how nice you are, like the Japanese people or the Chinese people, doesn't matter. That cannot fulfill God's will. Yeah. We need a new life. Yeah, we need to be transformed. We all need to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And this begins from the renewing of our mind. Romans 8:6 tells us the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Sounds familiar. Malachi, right? It's a covenant of life and peace. I think Paul read Malachi many times. Yeah. May the Lord transform us. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Yeah. You know, the characteristics with the first fruits in Revelation 14, the first thing is they have the Father's name written on their foreheads, right? These days, it's important for us all to be reminded our forehead is very important to the Lord. Yeah. There's a battle over our forehead. Turns out, God is not only correct spiritually, He is actually also correct medically. Okay, I'll explain. In school, I study neuroanatomy because the eye is an extension to the brain. Right behind the forehead, there's the most important part of our brain. It's called the prefrontal cortex. I shared this in Fountain Valley a few weeks ago. Our prefrontal cortex has three parts. First, the executive function. Second, the social and emotional regulation. And third is the cognitive control. And these three things are right behind our forehead, called the prefrontal cortex. And our prefrontal cortex has a bone to protect, because this is the most important part of our human brain. Executive is our will. Emotion is emotion. Cognitive is our mind. What is 2 Timothy 1:7 says? "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Amen.
Yeah, our forehead, our prefrontal cortex is very important to the Lord. That's why He needs to write His name on our foreheads, not with like a Sharpie, okay? But to write it into our brain, into our mind, emotion, and will. He wants to possess us. He wants to gain our entire being. This is very, very, very important. Yeah. In Revelation chapter 22, I'll read to you again verses 3 and 4. "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him as priests, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be written on their foreheads."
Amen.
Yes. In Revelation 3:12, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." Now, it doesn't say forehead here, but it's implied. Where else are you going to write His name? In the back? No, right here. Yeah. The devil also wants to write on our foreheads. Did you know that? Yeah. Revelation 13, verse 6. "He calls all, both small and great." Revelation 13, verse 16. Sorry, I didn't say that properly. "Rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on their foreheads." Yeah. Revelation 14:9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or on his hand." Yeah. Yeah, there's a fight over our mind, emotion, and will. Yeah. Who are we going to give it to? Right. May the Lord help us. Yeah. Secondly, transformation, change. First, we need the Lord's life, but it also requires many testings, trials, and tribulations. Look at the Lord's life when he was on the earth. Did he have an easy? From the time he was born, he was on the run. He was never had an easy life.
Yeah.
Compared to him, my, we all have such an easy life. That's right. Yeah. He was crucified. He never had an easy life. He was always tested, tempted, tried, betrayed by even those who are closest to him, forsaken by God. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. We all know this very well from Hebrews. Right? So Malachi chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord. Amen. As in the days of old, as in former years." Yeah. God desires offering in righteousness.
Amen.
This is so precious. Yeah. We've been practicing bringing offerings to the Lord. The Lord desires offerings in righteousness. Yeah. We are unrighteous. We must put on Christ as our garment of righteousness. Our flesh cannot please God, but the real and genuine experiences of the Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, that is an offering of righteousness to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. It's not the things that we did, as John always says, it's not transactional, it's not transitional and situational. Yeah, it's a life, right? We need to learn to live Christ. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." That is an offering of righteousness. That is well-pleasing to the Father.
Amen.
We need to learn to gain Christ in this way so that this amount of Christ that we experience, the size will grow and increase. And the only way is through being refined and purified. And these things can only happen through intense heat, pressure, and fire. Nobody likes fire. A fire can purge out all the impurities in silver and in gold. So this is what our church life, our family life, marriage life, work life, brother's house life, sister's house life, all these things will serve this very purpose. It's not going to be easy, you know. But we all know this, but we need to take these opportunity to experience the Lord. Yeah. Today, the Lord is turning up the heat everywhere. Let's not run away from it. Yeah, let's experience the Lord. And finally, the Lord says in Malachi 3:7, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from me, right? So what the Lord says, return to me,
and I will return to you.
Yeah. What did the Lord says to the five of the seven churches in the book of Revelation? Repent. Return is to repent. We went astray from the Lord. We need to repent. We need to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. We shouldn't feel like, oh, I'm doing okay. We have many things. The Lord has many things against us. We need to repent. Yeah. And if we would do so, the Lord promised that he will make us his jewels. Yeah. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 21, we see many jewels, yeah? Precious stones, gold, jasper. We can be a jewel. The Lord's promise in Exodus 19 is, you will be a special treasure to me. Yeah. Imagine we human beings, sinners, can be transformed and we can become a special treasure to the Lord. That the Lord will hold it up and say to the whole universe, here is my treasure. Yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful. Right? May the Lord call us and gain us as his holy and royal priesthood. And may the Lord speak to us. Yeah. From his word, and that we will take the word of the Lord seriously and not to just say, okay, I've been there, I've done that, but to let the word of the Lord search us and show us wherever we are lacking, wherever we are short, that we would be willing to repent and turn back to the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord be merciful to all of us.
Amen.